Daniel 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Notice, at some point I don't know when, or either I heard somebody say it, but I think I did this one time, if my memory's right. I was curious how big this statue, this idol was, and it was, if you do the math out the way that we're used to, the 60 cubits comes out to be that he was 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's how big this image was that Nebuchadnezzar set up. And I tell you, that's huge. You think about 90 feet tall. That's big. That's huge. And 9 feet wide, just across. And so that gives you this was not some little dinky statue. Amen. This was not some little Buddha like you see people put up. This was huge. Amen. This was the size of really the height-wise of a large, you know, pretty good-sized building, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. So you think about, this was a big-sized statue. And another thing that was interesting here, I don't think I ever noticed this before when I was studying this, it said he set him up in the plain of Dura. And so in other words, not only was this big statue made and just put somewhere, but it was put in a strategic location, if you will, in a plain, in a flat area, flat piece of land. And so as this statue was put up 90 feet tall, 9 foot wide, here you could see it for miles, no doubt. You could see it for a long distance where they put this statue being. It was in a flat place in a plain. And, of course, we know what's getting ready to take place here. In verse 2, it says, Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent together the princes, the governors, and the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. We'll stop right there just for a second. A lot of people, debate and argue, and I can't say for certain, but I personally believe this image was one of the king himself. I believe it was a replica, if you will, of what he looked like. Some people say no, it maybe was another god or something that they worshiped. It could be, who knows? But all we know is it was an image and it was a big image, amen, that he took and that he made this thing out of. Skip down to verse number 5. It says that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. So when they heard all the music playing, they were to take and to fall down right and before this huge idol and to worship this thing, the Bible says. In verse 6 was the consequences if you didn't fall down and then worship this idol. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast in the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And then we'll skip on down a little bit more here with me, if you will. Notice, skip down to verse 8. It says, Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They played the music. Everyone bowed down except for how many? Y'all know the answer. 3, right? So now there's some tattletales that are saying, Hey, I saw them 3 people standing out in the crowd that didn't bow down. Let's see what happens. Verse 9. Then spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Notice verse 15. This is our text verse for this morning. He said, Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the help and strength that you give us each and every day in our lives. Dear Lord, I need your help this morning, dear Lord. We all need your help this morning, dear Lord, in a special way. And dear Father, I pray that you would help me this morning, dear Lord, that you'd hide me behind the cross, that you would, dear Lord, just take, dear Lord, as we talked about in Sunday school, our bodies as your temple. And dear Lord, I pray this morning that you'd take this temple and that you'd help to set everything else aside, dear Lord, that's going on in my heart and mind and in any other heart and mind that's here today. And I pray that you'd help us for a few minutes to focus on you and your word and what you have for us today. Please, dear Lord, do only what you can do in our hearts and lives. And I thank you ahead of time for what you have done in our lives. And I thank you ahead of time for what you're going to do, dear Lord, through your word today. Work now in our hearts. Help us to respond as you speak to us. Thank you for loving us and for saving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Does anybody remember? Y'all didn't know you was going to have a pop quiz, did you? Does anybody remember what we preached about last week? Anybody? Are you ready? Right? We talked about being ready because we never know, right, when the Lord may come back or when our time may come. And there's a lot of things I could say about that regarding the last couple of weeks, right? We know some people who's went to be with the Lord. You think about the fact you never know, you need to be ready. I think about the difference it is between somebody that's ready and not ready. It's night and day, ain't it? Night and day. You need to be ready. But this morning, you might call part two. I did not intend to have a part two to this message. But this week, as I was at the preacher's meeting in Union, the preacher preached from this portion of Scripture, but on a different subject. But as he was reading through this passage, the Lord jumped off the page some words used in verse number 15. And this morning, that's what the Lord's laid on my heart just for a few minutes to talk about. It's verse 15. Notice the first, if you will, five words that's found in verse number 15. And I marked these five words in my Bible. He said, "Now, if ye be ready." He said, "I'm going to give you another chance," right? He said, "You didn't bow down the first time. You didn't fall down and worship." I tried to emphasize those words. I don't know if you noticed or not, if I succeeded in doing a good job of that or not. But I tried, as we were reading through this, to emphasize those words was used several times, fall down and worship. Because this morning he asked the question in verse 15. He made a statement. He asked a question in 14. Then he makes a statement. He said, "Now if ye be ready." This morning I want to talk to you for just for a few minutes. Like I said, you could title it, "Are You Ready?" again, really, if you wanted to. But this morning, the way I want to title it more is this: if ye be ready. If ye be ready. Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, he said, if you're ready, if you be ready to do this, what I told you to do to begin with and tried to get you to do that you didn't do, he said, if ye be ready, we'll play it one more time, we'll strike up the band, we'll give you another chance to take and to fall down and worship the image. He said, if you do, everything will be okay. If you don't, then there'll be consequences to pay. You think about this morning, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego faced kind of the same question that we talked about last week, but a little different way. They were asked here in verse 15, if you be ready. In other words, are you ready to do this? Are you ready to take? We'll give you one more chance. If ye be ready. The wicked king gave them one more chance to follow his command. If not, if they didn't follow, then the furnace would be what they received. You think about today, are we ready? Now if ye be ready. This morning, church, I ask you the same question, if ye be ready. Are you ready this morning? You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Notice verse 15 again. He said, now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, harpet, harp, sackbut, psalter, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music. Here's that phrase I mentioned to you that's used several times in this passage. Ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. Notice that first part, it said, ye fall down. The first thing this morning, I ask you, if ye be ready, are you ready this morning to fall down? Are you ready, if you will, to use another word, to faint? Are you ready this morning to faint or to fall down? Here this king was telling them, hey, you might serve another god. You know, we know where you come from. The Jews, they were pointed out in the verse, and hey, these Jews, and he knew exactly who they were talking about, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He had appointed them to a position. They were in captivity. We know about all that. He had appointed them to a position there in the province, though. That's what the Babylonians did, you know, with their captives, with the best ones, I guess you'd say, the ones they thought had the most potential. They would take, educate them, prop them up, if you will, and then use them as leaders to try to help them to be leaders there in the community, in their area. But here, he took and he said, I want to give you another chance. He was upset about what they had done, but apparently he had an interest in these guys, if you will, to a point to give them another chance, right? Because he could have took and said, you didn't listen. Why didn't you listen? Fire up the furnace. Right? They had their chance. But instead, what did he do? He said, I'm going to give you a second chance. If you be ready. If you're ready to faint. If you're ready to quit. How many times have you taken in your life today and felt like falling down? How many times have you felt like fainting? How many times have you felt like quitting and serving God and doing what the Lord wants you to do? Here they could have easily taken and fell down and fainted in front of that image and said, you know what? We're in a foreign land. We're in a foreign place. Times are hard. Things are hard. We've stood for the Lord all this time, but now it's just too much. The pressure is on. The fire is coming on us if we don't fall down. Sometimes when the threat of fire comes, what do? We fall down. When things get hard, when things get hot, if you will, what do? We fall down. We faint. Here they were. They were about to the place of fainting or falling down. They were about to the place of falling down and quitting on serving the Lord, the one true God. But thank the Lord they didn't do that. Amen. Galatians chapter number 6 is a good verse of Scripture to remember this morning. Galatians chapter number 6. The Bible says in Galatians 6 and verse number 9, Galatians 6, 9, the Bible says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Amen. In other words, this morning they could have taken, and they were no doubt very tempted to take and to fall down. They were no doubt tempted to faint, if you will. They were no doubt tempted to quit. But hey, the Bible tells us don't be weary in well-doing. Amen. Don't be weary in well-doing. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't stop serving God. And here these young men, thank the Lord, they were not weary in well-doing. Amen. They didn't faint. They didn't fall down before that idol that day. They didn't throw in the towel, to use the words we would say today. Amen. They didn't throw in the towel of serving God despite the circumstances, despite the situation, despite the place that they were in their lives. They didn't fall down. They didn't quit. They kept running the race for the Lord. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6, a familiar passage of Scripture. But there's some good verses here. Don't faint. Don't be weary in well-doing this morning, child of God. Keep going. These Hebrew boys did. They didn't faint. They didn't fall down, if you will. In Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, the Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Amen. This morning, that's what we need to do. That's what these Hebrew boys were. Amen. They were strong in the Lord and the power of His might. How else could they have taken and not fell down? How else could they have taken and not fainted at that moment when they were threatened with the heat and with the fire? You think about a lot of times, that's all it takes for us to fall down and faint and quit doing what God wants us to do, ain't it? Just a little bit of heat. The threat even of a little bit of heat. We might stand the first time the temptation comes, like they did, but then when the temptation comes again and the devil comes up to you and he says, hey, Cavern, I'll give you another chance.
Yes.
Are you sure you made the right decision? I'll give you another chance. If you're ready, I'll strike up the band one more time. If you're ready. If you're ready to faint, if you're ready to fall down, I'll give you another chance. You think about it, that's what he does, doesn't he? He'll come to you and he'll say, I'll give you another chance. I'll give you another chance. Boy, you missed out the first time, all the fun we had and all the enjoyment, everybody else was doing it. Look how dumb you looked. But you know what? These Hebrew boys, they wasn't ready. Thank the Lord they were not ready. You think about here, they were told, if you are ready. Why were they not ready? Because they were strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. They wasn't ready to fall down. They wasn't ready to fall down to that thing. They wasn't ready to faint. They wasn't really ready to quit. They wasn't going to give up no matter how hot it got. Amen. No matter what happened, they were not going to give up. Because they were walking with the Lord's armor on, as the right next to the verses says, no doubt. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Amen. What did they do when everybody else fell down? They stood. How else could they stand? I believe they had the armor of God on, spiritually speaking. Amen. They could stand in His power, stand in His might. The armor they had on, well, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil, one of his wiles is coming back to you and saying, hey, I'll give you another chance. You missed out on the fun. Look, everybody else is doing it. Why don't you come on? That's exactly what the king did here. And if you don't, then you're going to suffer the consequences. You think about the fact here, they were close to fainting, close to falling down when things got hot, but they didn't. Thank the Lord they took and they stood. Amen. The first time. And then when they were come back and given the opportunity, what did they do? They still stood. They didn't faint. They didn't fall down. They kept on going. The next verse 12, it says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. That's what they did. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. In other words, simply, they did not faint. They did not fall down. They kept on keeping on for the Lord. Amen. They did not bow down. They did not fall down, faint, or quit in the way. I think about the song that during revival Kelly sang. The Lord just, you know, reminded me of this even this morning. The song goes, the preachers are weary, the singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. Some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. Why? Because if just one more soul were to walk down the aisle, amen, it would be worth every struggle. It would be worth every mile. A lifetime of service is still worth it all if it rescues just one more soul. Amen. Thank the Lord that these Hebrew boys, they did not faint in well-doing. They did not quit. They did not fall down to the king's idol that everyone else in the kingdom fell down to. All nations, all tongues, you read all that and you see all that in those verses. Everyone else. But these three boys, they stood. Don't faint and don't fall down this morning. He said, if you be ready to faint, if you be ready to fall down this morning, church, I ask you this morning before we move on to the next point, are you ready to faint? Are you ready to fall down? The devil's trying to get you to faint, ain't he? He's trying to get us to fall down. This morning, don't faint. Don't fall down. But back in our verse in Daniel 3, verses 1 through 15, it said in there, fall down and worship. You see that word fall down, it kind of gives another idea as well the Lord spoke to my heart about is maybe today we're ready to fall down and what? Worship. You see, today the devil comes to us and he says, hey, ain't you ready to fall down and worship me? Ain't you ready to fall down and worship the things of this world and to turn your back on the God that you stood for so long? You see, today I ask you if you be ready. He comes and he says, hey, are you ready? Ain't you ready to have some fun? Ain't you ready to do this? Ain't you ready to do all these things? Aren't you tired of dealing with all these things? Not just about quitting. This morning I had here in my notes, they were not just quitting if they would have quit and fell down, but they also were quitting on serving God and instead starting to serve this idol. If they would have fell down, that's what they would have been doing. They would have been turning their back on God and turning themselves to worshiping something else. You think about today, how many people? I ask myself this question. How many people today have done just that? Why would they do it though? Right? These Hebrew boys, they had taken all up to this point and served God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel even, which Daniel ain't mentioned in this one in Daniel 3. But they had served God. They had been faithful all along. Why would they take now and give in? They took what happened the first time the music played. What did they do? The first time it played, what did they do? They stood, right? Why would they take now and fall down when the first time the music played, they stood? Why fall down now? You done made it this far, right? Why turn your back on Him now, as the old song says? Why? He's brought you this far. Amen. They could have taken and they could have fell down. Why would they have fell down though? The same reason today you think about, I ask myself this question all the time. I have many times in my life, and I don't know if some of y'all probably have at some point or another, but I ask myself this question, and I thought about this with the Hebrew boys here. Why would they have fell down to this idol when they had served God all along? But yet how many times do we take and see people today that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that stood for Him for so long and served Him for so long, all of a sudden you look up one day and they fell down? You say, what do you mean? They fainted? Yes, but they fell down and started worshiping the things of this world. They fell down. They took and they fell down and began and worship. Fall down and worship. You think about the words in the verses said today. I ask myself, why are so many believers today getting out of church? Because they fell down and worshiped. They fell down and worshiped. The devil comes, he says, hey, are you ready? And they say, sure, let's go. They're ready. This morning, are you ready to fall down and worship? You think about the fact today, there's so many believers getting out of church. There's so many not being as faithful anymore. They're getting close. I think a lot of believers today, if we're honest, we're not careful, we're like this. And there's only so long, I don't know about y'all, but there's only so long I can stay like that. What's going to happen if you stay like this too long? You're going to fall down, ain't you? You're going to fall down if you stay like that long enough. That's the way a lot of people are today that know the Lord. They're down that close to falling down and worshiping. That close. That close. I ask you today, you think about, is that you? Is that me? Today, so many have gotten out of church not as faithful as they used to be. We see so many pastors that have taken and they've fallen down to the things of this world. They quit serving God. They quit preaching the gospel. They quit trying to do what the Lord would have them to do. You think about, I'll be honest with you, I can't think of a time where I've never ever known so many churches that are without a pastor or might be without a pastor soon with crazy situations going on and stuff. I mean, why? Not all, but a lot of them, what? People's fallen down. I think about, why is it so hard for churches to find good pastors? Why? Because a lot of good men, no doubt, that God wanted to use, what have they done? They've fallen down. Amen? They've fallen down to the things of this world, and they're not interested in serving God or doing the things God would have them to do. I think about a couple of young men that I know have known down through my life that have surrendered the call to preach. Some of them I went to Bible college with. Some of them I grew up in church with and knew down through the years and went to school with and things. They surrendered their life to serve God and to preach. Where are they? What happened to them? You know what happened? They fell down and they started worshiping something else. Mm-hmm. You say, what do you mean? They fell down to a job. Oh, I can make more money doing this. Mm-hmm. They fell down to not giving themselves to do what God wanted them to do. You think about today, they fell down and began to worship. So many pastors, evangelists, missionaries getting off the field, believers that have compromised and fell down to the things of this world. But I asked myself this question this morning, the Lord gave me three things that I want to share with you in this point of what causes people to fall down and to begin to worship the things of this world.